even though I am in the Department of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics, I work mostly in evolution and mostly inside of the computer. So I'm a theorist, and you know, if you want to make progress in disease, for example, you need to know lots of details. And you know, there's some people here that do fantastic things with actual experimental systems, but also with computational and theoretical systems. And so for me, you know, I can learn a lot of things here that I could not learn in my normal environment.
Can you pick anything out that has meant a lot to you?
So one of the talks today made the point that you can have adaptation in cancer cells and normal cells without any mutations. And that's something that I was kind of aware of, but I kind of also tend to forget because I work with mutations all the time. All the stuff that I do with evolution is with mutations, and that makes me forget about the fact that cells have the capacity to change their state as a function of environmental influences, and then therefore that many of the things and the change that we see in cancerous cells may actually not be mutation related. So that was a good reminder for me.
Right. And I know that you were instrumental in some ways in setting up this PSSC network. Some of the initial conversations, I believe, were with you. So looking back at this as an outsider, really, because you haven't been involved directly in the last 5 years, what do you think?
So I think, first of all, that this was a fantastic idea to start these things. You know, I wasn't aware that throughout 30 years of research in cancer, so little progress has been made. And, you know, as a theorist, you know, it turns out that I like to think in fundamental terms, and that not many people in cancer biology were doing that. And so putting together, you know, cancer biologists and physicists and engineers and chemists, I think was a fantastic idea, because the different cultures needed to interact. For on the one hand, the physicists, you know, possibly did not have access to all the kind of clinical data that was necessary in order to make interesting theories. And on the other hand, clinical people did not have the kind of broad thinking that physicists would bring to the table. So I think in the long run, this is going to pay off handsomely. I think that 5 years is probably too short a period to measure a success. My hope is that either these centers or other centers will going to go on.
Yes, I noticed myself, because I've been involved for the last 5 years, just seeing the level of discussion now that we have the physicists and the computer specialists, and they're giving some fairly high-powered talks, but they're bringing in biology that they might not have known about those years ago.
Yeah, I think that's the key. When I talk to biologists, I have a very good biologist friend, and he always tells me, you know, I like talking to you because you are the kind of physicist that actually cares about details. And he always says there's two kinds of physicists: those that care about the biological details, and that those that don't. Those that don't are useless for the biologist. So I mean, these details matter. You cannot really build these type of theories in a vacuum. You need to have access to facts, and very often very, very detailed facts. And it is very often minute, small details that perhaps even an experimentalist would overlook that end up making big breakthroughs, where somebody just looks at a fact and says, huh, I wonder how we could understand that. It is, in my view, always the experiments and the facts that bring about new thinking. And in the absence of those, you're just sitting in a room trying to imagine how the world is, and I don't think that's very successful.
Actually, that's how major breakthroughs in physics have also occurred.
That's right. I don't think what we're doing here is dramatically different from how we've been doing it in physics. You know, when I was a graduate student in physics, I had the same type of approach. I always said, you know, I need to look at data, okay? Because in the absence of data, I don't know even what to think about. I want to see data that nobody else has seen, data that is new, so that I can take a look at it, see the things that I understand, and then see something that makes me stumble. And it is these type of things that open up new directions, because once you take a look at them and then you mull them over and you discuss them with other people, and then at some point you might say, you know what, I think I know where this comes from. And then that's where the beginning of research is. The beginning of research starts, in my view, with data that you don't understand. But in order to have access to this kind of data, you have to have these collaborations that are being successfully put together by these PSOC centers.
Thank you very much, Chris.
It was my pleasure.